Hello again. Welcome again to our study. This is the fifth study we're going to have in the matter of reconciliation, the truth in the Word of God concerning reconciliation. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in, and the Lord bless you for your diligence and your faithfulness to His Word, and for your faithfulness to Him, especially that you think enough of your Lord that a lot of people say they love God, but they don't care what His Word says. There's something to that. You see, when you love somebody, you want to know what they got to say, know what God's Word says. You want to know about Him if you say you love somebody. And you want to know more about them, and you go, you do the things that's necessary to find out. And God, if you want to know anything about the Lord, you're going to find it out in His Word. God reveals Himself in His Word, And thank you for being faithful. And thank you for joining in with our studies. I know I ain't the most entertaining teacher in the world, but that's not I try to make it where you can get a blessing out of it, but that's not the purpose of this ministry, not the purpose of this lesson. And my teaching is to entertain. It's to reveal truth and to try to be a blessing to people and help people understand what the Word of God says, what it says. And no matter how smart somebody is, and no matter how long they studied and everything else, every man on this planet has learned from somebody else. And the Bible says that God the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and that we don't have a need for another man to teach us, even though God does give us teachers. When you're sincere about learning the Word of God, God will put people in your path to teach you His Word, and give you mentors, and give you teachers, and give you people that love God, you know. And isn't that neat? I love the Lord, and I love the way that He does things. I love His paths, and I love His ways. Don't you? So let's get into our study, just recapping a little bit. On our fourth lesson, the last lesson that we did, or that we came together around, was we talked about the condition of man before he was reconciled. We found out that he is not only helpless and without strength, but he's also a sinner, and that he is the enemy of God, and that he has a personality of being hostile and indifferent and actually a God-hater. And that's what the Bible says. In Colossians and Romans, we read that. And no matter how bad, well, I don't hate God. Well, you might not think you do, but the Bible says you're an enemy of God. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you reject Christ, you're the enemy of God. And the Bible says that you do hate God. And that if you're indifferent about the Lord, well, I just don't think it's that important, and don't make no big deal about it. I had a preacher look me in the face one time from a pulpit, I was sitting in the pew and from the pulpit, and that was back when the big controversy of versions started going through the church and everything else. Man, don't let anybody tie you up with all this version business. That's the devil's business if it's ever been. The devil getting in there telling you, well, this is the Word of God. Well, this is the Word of God. Well, this is the Word of God, and just confusing things all over the place. God gave you His Word, and He gave it to you in that King James Bible. And if you got a problem with the King James Bible, you need to figure out how come you do. Have you been taught that? Or is God the Holy Ghost leading you away from the King James Bible? Is He the one that's doing it? That's the one you're supposed to be following. It's the instructions of the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost leading you away from the King James Bible to another version that God has made more understandable? Did God write 230 plus versions of His Word? Does that sound like the God that you know? My Bible says that God is not the author. What's an author? somebody that puts his words down in a book. My Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So if there's confusion, which all this Bible version trash that's among Christendom now, it just confusing everybody and knocking people off of their stand and everything else for the Lord and confusing everything. There's people that have just quit serving God altogether out of discouragement, and that's the devil's plan, is to discourage people. Well, if he says this over here, and then he says this over here, and says this over here, 230 plus different ways, what does God mean? You see, God's not the author of confusion. God wants you to understand. God didn't leave his Bible. Man left his Bible. God didn't rewrite his word. Man rewrote it. Okay? So, if God the Holy Ghost, ask God the Holy Ghost to tell you what God's word is. And when he shows it to you, and be sincere, God will show you what his word is if you'll be sincere and ask him. And he'll nail it down. He'll show you, this is it. And when he does, don't you let anybody turn you away or pull you away from it ever, ever, ever again. And that's why we study in the King James Bible in these classes, because that is the word of the living God. And there are no others. There are no others. The other versions are corruptions, and they confuse God's word, and they change the meanings, and they break down the, when you start running scripture with scripture, they just tear everything all to pieces, and they emphasize the Greek and the Hebrew and the blabbity blabbity blab blab blab, and most, and 99% of Christians don't even speak Greek, and Greek is not even a language that's even known anymore. Nobody speaks Greek anymore. Nobody. Except your educated wannabes and all the people that think that they're somebody and something and can tell God that he made a mistake. What a wicked way to approach your Creator to insinuate that he has made a mistake in his eternal word. Who in the world, what kind of fool would be that bold to come at God? You know, the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And sometimes I think the Lord does that. He just sits back and just goes, Would you look at that idiot? Would you look at that idiot trying to tell me I made a mistake in my word? Wow. Don't let that be you. Brothers and sisters, just rest in God's word and learn it. And that's what we're doing here. We're getting in God's word and we're finding out what God's word says. What it says. We talked about the condition of man before he was reconciled, and then we also talked about how reconciliation was accomplished or is accomplished. Remember that? It's accomplished by God being in Christ, and it's accomplished by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's accomplished by the very blood of Jesus Christ, by his blood. His blood was not like human blood. It's God's blood. It's God's blood, and it's accomplished by the Word of God, accomplished by the Word of God. We talked about the benefits of being reconciled, and boy, wasn't that good stuff. That's good stuff. The benefits of being reconciled to God. One now has peace with God. Man, that's worth $1 million bucks right there, isn't it? Just having peace with the Lord and being at peace with him and him being at peace with you and both. But your relationship is at rest with the Lord. One now has access to God. You can actually go to the Lord and talk to him anytime you want to. You ain't got to get down. You ain't got to do 1,500 Hail Marys and go through a priest and go through Mary and the matriarch and all this and that and the other, or go through Muhammad or just all these different things and all these different things. The Bible says you have access to him. You can go to him boldly anytime you feel like it and talk to him. Bible says to get in your closet, to get in your closet and talk to him. And when God sees you in your closet talking to him, he'll reward you openly. When God sees you getting by yourself where nobody else is around and it appears that you are on purpose separating yourself so that you can talk to the Lord privately. The Bible says that God sees that, and He'll reward you openly for that. Your prayer closet. The Lord calls it a closet. He does. All right. And another thing was, one, whether you're Jew or Gentile, is no longer under the curse of the law. Aren't we glad of that? Aren't we glad that the law does not curse us anymore? The law is good if a man lives by it. But otherwise, he transgresses the law, and he's a transgressor. And if he transgresses in one point, he's guilty of the entire law. You broke one part of God's law, you've broken it all. Now, that's what the Bible says. So I'm glad we don't have to be held accountable by the law anymore. We're held accountable by Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And as sons of God now, and our behavior and our things that we do in our body as born-again children of God, the works that we do in our body, serving the Lord, waiting for His return. That's what we're accountable for now. Another thing was that one is no longer under God's wrath and damnation. Aren't you glad of that? The people in hell wish they was. Yes, they do. They wish they was out. And they wish that they wasn't under God's wrath and under His damnation. That's a sobering thought to think about people that are in hell and believe it. And to read God's word and what God says about people being damned and people that are under God's wrath and people that have died in their sins and what happens to them after that. It's a sobering thought to sit down and believe what God has said and all the people that have died. Just think about the people who have died in the last 12 hours on earth. They went somewhere. And if they went to hell, they went to hell with God's wrath and His condemnation and His damnation upon them. And they're not going to get out from under it now. It's too late. There is a time where it becomes too late. Too late. One's reconciliation to God can never be undone. Once you reconcile, you can't give it back. I don't know anybody who would want to. But you can't. And the Lord's definitely not going to kick you out of His family. You are family now. And praise the Lord for His wonderful grace and Him, us being accepted in the beloved, and that the Lord is now, we're in favor before the Lord. We're in favor, we have God's favor now because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is even sitting at His right hand defending us at this very second. At this moment, that's where the Lord is right now. That's where He is. So today we're going to get into another area of our study of reconciliation. And I mentioned it to you before we closed our last study. And it's referring to some warnings concerning reconciliation. You say, well, everything about reconciliation has been so good so far. How come, you mean there are warnings concerning reconciliation? Yes, there are. And they're scriptural warnings, and we need to know them. We need to know them. We need to understand, first of all, concerning warnings, concerning reconciliation, is that reconciliation is a privilege and a gift, not a right. This world is so hung up and blown out of its mind about this business of I got my rights. I got this right. I got that right. Even little kids are walking around saying, I know my rights. And this right stuff has exploded. And people have completely gone out of their minds concerning what is right and wrong concerning your rights. God doesn't see rights as man sees them. Man, the entire population of humans on the planet don't even see rights the same way. You think people in the United States think the same, especially this crowd today, but you think people in the United States think the same way about rights as some of the people in Ghana or Kuwait or some of the third world countries about having rights? You think the communists think the same way about having rights? The socialists think the same way about under socialism, under communism? Rights are not the same throughout humanity over the planet. They're not the same. What you hear about, I got my rights and things like that in the United States is just a full-blown, spoiled, pull-up-my-diaper brats. I got my rights. You do have rights, but they're privileged rights. God says that reconciliation is not a privilege, is a privilege. It is a gift. It's not your right to be reconciled to God. Your right concerning your state with the Lord is to die and go to hell. That's your right. But it just so happens that Jesus loves you, and God loved you, and He loves His creation, and He didn't want to just throw His creation away because of this sin problem, so He made a plan and restored it through reconciliation and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a funny thing that somebody thinks that they got a right before God when it cost the Son of God His life. If anybody's got rights before the Father, it's Jesus Christ. It's not you, and it's not me. So one warning concerning this reconciliation matter, and I say this, and the reason that we're having this as a topic is because among Christendom, there are people out there preaching and teaching and congregations believing things that they should not be believing and saying proclaiming. They shouldn't be saying it. And they're saying it as a right. I got my rights as a Christian. I got my rights before God. God knows I got my rights. God's got to do this. God ain't got to do diddly. He ain't got to do diddly squat. So the first warning is this. Reconciliation is a privilege, brothers and sisters. It is a gift. It's not a right. Now let's look at some scripture concerning this matter. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3. Listen to what the Bible says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? That's a warning. That's a warning. Not to think it's your right to be reconciled to the Lord, because it's not. Reconciliation is a gift, and it's a privilege, and it is an honor that the Lord would even offer it to us and provide it for us and pay for it for us and bring us to Him. And all we got to do is exercise our will and say, yes, Lord, I accept. But this business of, in Christianity is walking around and with that snuffy nose up in the air and all that hooty-hoo stuff and acting like you're somebody and that you got your rights as a Christian and you are somebody and God owes you. God don't owe anybody anything except just to dispose of you. He told Moses, step aside. I'm going to kill every one of them, and I'll make another nation out of you. There's your rights. We need to be careful about who and understand who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega. From everlasting to everlasting. He didn't come into being. He always has been. That's just, it's funny how a human being can't even figure out the essence of God, can't even figure out the sovereignty of God, can't figure out, can't put God in a thought cloud. In other words, you can't say God and the things about God and his attributes. There are parts of his attributes that a human being just cannot understand. His omnipotence, being everywhere all the time. His omnipresence, his omnipresence being everywhere all the time. His omnipotence being all-powerful that God can do anything. You know how man answers that? Is God powerful enough that he can make a rock that he can't pick up? Kind of stupid thing is that to say. He can make a rock and bounce it off your head. Reconciliation is a privilege and a gift. It's not a right. It is your privilege and your honor and a gift that God has gifted you eternal life and that you are in his family and that you are his son and it is to be exercised under the matter of appreciation and thanksgiving and humility. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and but before honor is humility. Understanding what the Lord done and what he went through and what he paid and what it cost him to save your rotten carcass ought to humble you. But there's Christians in some churches nowadays that are just so stinking haughty it stinks. It's putrefying. It just stinks the way that and they think that they're honoring God, and they're not. They're not. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Don't underestimate the Lord. He is your heavenly Father, brother and sister in the Lord. He is your heavenly Father, and he does love you. But he will blister your hind end. He will scourge you. He will tear your hind end up for misbehaving. The Lord does set a standard for his children. And it's written in his word. And we ought to take heed to it. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You say, well, what's the big deal? God is the big deal. And what he's done for you is the big deal. And how you ought to be behaving yourself and how you ought to be conducting yourself is the big deal. I was saying that a while ago about me sitting in a about being in a church, And the pastor was standing up there, and that was during, I didn't finish what I was telling you. I will now. I'm glad the Lord brought it back to mind. But he was in the pulpit, and that was when the big King James controversy was going on and everything else. And the Lord's never led me. As a matter of fact, I went through that version battle, and the devil tried to pull me away from the Bible just as much as he could, but I never yielded to it. I didn't trust it. I knew that the Lord had showed, I've always been around the King James Bible. It's always been God's Word, even when I was a little boy and didn't know nothing about God or nothing about the Word. It's just always been that God and His book, not 230 plus books, one book. That's how I understood it. But when it did hit me and I had to go through that battle, I despised it. I hated every minute of it because I knew the enemy was among that, and he was trying to rob me of God's Word and confuse me and take away the beauty of God's Word out of my life. And I didn't have any problem with it, but whenever we were sitting in the congregation, the church, the pastor was going through it, and I guess there were some people in the church that were talking about other versions and this, that, and the other, and it became an issue. And the pastor just got up and he said, "Well, from now on, we're just going to use the King James Bible." And I just said, "Amen," because I meant it. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we're just going to choose and move on, because I wasn't changing. Well, after I said amen, I was about the third row down from the pulpit, and he stopped immediately and turned his attention straight toward me and looked directly in my eyes and screamed to the top of his lung, "But we're not going to make a big deal out of it." And embarrassed me all to get it. I should have grabbed my daughter's hand and stood up and walked out and never went back right then. But I looked around the congregation, and there were some smart alecks giggling about that because of what he did to me. And, you know, I think about that. But since then, his church has closed down, and he's gone to other versions and all kind of crazy nonsense and stuff like that. And the Lord's rewarded him for that, because he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. He just making a decision. And that's the way some pastors and teachers and everything else, and that's the way Christendom works in the hierarchy nowadays, is that people use the King James. People that are insincere use the King James Bible to their advantage and their benefit and their prosperity, but they don't use it because they love it and believe it, and that it's God's indeed written, inerrant, inspired word. But he said that to me, and that did not strike me as a privilege or a gift to him. In other words, God's word is a privilege, and God's word is a gift to us. God could have just not written anything to us. And don't you know what a mess we'd be in? Aren't you glad we got His words? Yeah. Reconciliation, some warnings concerning reconciliation. Reconciliation is a privilege and a gift. It's not a right. It's not a right. And what else? Well, being reconciled to God, now you are a child of God, and God is now your heavenly Father, literally. And the warning is that God takes His fatherhood seriously. He's not going to play around with you. If you want it the hard way, the Lord will do it that way. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." And if you've not been under God's chastening hand, you will be. But the thing about God's chastening hand is that when it's all finished, or when it's going on, the Bible says that God will meet you face to face. He don't hide around a corner and give you a spanking and make you wonder where it comes from. He scourges you and chastens you and then stands in front of you and says, "See who's doing this? It's me." And that's the God that loves you. And that's your Father. It says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son." Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." God's not whipping you because he hates you. He's whipping you so that you can be partaker of his holiness, to change your mind and change your thinking and change your behavior and change your attitude. Not like this liberalistic nonsense in society nowadays that says anything goes. They're going to pay for that. They're going to pay for it in their own lives. They're going to pay for it in their children's lives. And they're going to pay for it when God gets a hold of them. Anything does not go. The warning is, and what are we talking about? We're talking about some warnings concerning reconciliation. Reconciliation is a privilege and a gift, not a right. And reconciliation, being reconciled to God, now you are a child of God, and God is now your heavenly Father, literally. And that the warning is that he takes his fatherhood seriously. Don't underestimate the Lord and his fatherly care. He will let you know that he cares about you and that he knows what you're up to and why you're up to it and whether it needs straightening up or not. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 13, listen to this. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." It'll make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you peace in your life because the Lord's going to make you righteous. He's going to grow fruit in you and on you and out of you. And that fruit's going to be righteousness. Doing right. That's what righteousness means. "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." In other words, take your whooping and fix what God's talking to you about. That's a warning. What's it a warning? It's a warning concerning reconciliation. You think you're saved and, well, yay, I'm going to heaven. Okay, let's get on with life. It ain't like that. your life changed completely, utterly, and entirely when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and when you was adopted into the family of God, and you were reconciled back to God, everything changed, and everything's going to stay changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and they are passing away, and they are going to pass away. Behold, all things are become new, and are going to become new, and if he has to beat the tar out of you, they're going to become new. Amen. That's a good father, ain't it? And he is a good father. He loves you, and he's going to prove it to you. He's going to prove it to you. Here's another one. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. How do we stay right with the Lord and we heed this warning about his fatherhood and taking his fatherhood seriously? The Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's not for a lost man. That's for his children. If you confess your sins, Lord, I messed up. I lied. And I lied about this, and I lied on purpose, and I meant it, and no excuse, Lord. Then he says, okay, fine, son. I forgive that, and let's clean up everything else while we're talking about it. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and you're back in fellowship, and off you go. That's how the Lord does it. Aren't you glad? Ain't got nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. Got to do with staying reconciled to your heavenly Father. That's that different kind of reconciliation. It's not heaven and hell reconciliation. It's relationship reconciliation. You see that thing? Okay. All right. What else? Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about some warnings concerning reconciliation. First thing is, reconciliation is a privilege and a gift and not a right. The second thing is be careful of who you're dealing with. He's your heavenly Father, and you are reconciled back to him, and you're a child of God now, and he takes his fatherhood seriously. The next warning is that God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. Now, this is mostly to the unsaved. If you wait till you die to try to discuss being reconciled and reunited with the Lord, you are out of luck, because God don't talk to people after they die concerning heaven and hell. You just go to one of them places. Period. There's no discussion about it. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 49 and verse 6 through 9, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them by any means, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. In other words, if you think, like the Catholics think, that you can pay money and buy somebody out of a place called purgatory, that verse right there tells you there's no such thing as that. You cannot redeem your brother if he dies in a state of being a sinner. There's no negotiation with God concerning reconciliation, and nobody that dies and goes to hell can or will be reconciled back to God. Ever. You're gone. Period. It's over. Finished. Done. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now you stop and think about how many people you know and what they believe and how they think they're going to get back in good favor with God. You probably know some people that go to Mass. Is that get them back in favor with God according to the Bible? You probably know some people that that follow the Quran and think something about Muhammad and Allah. Allah just means the God. Allah is not a specific God. Allah is the God. Not talking about Jehovah or Jesus. Talking about the God, any old God. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way." Now Jesus either lied right there or he's telling the truth. I know the answer. I am the way. He said it. It don't get no plainer than that. I am the way. And then he said, if you want the truth, I am the way, the truth, and if you want to live forever, and the life. And then he said, don't make no mistake about it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what's that do with your Catholic priests and the ones that teach about Mary and having to go through Mary and all that sort of jazz and business? Where are they going to end up? We're talking about warnings. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. You better figure it out and make a decision and make it your decision and stick to it. Jesus said he's the way. Muhammad says he's the way. The Pope says he's the way. Buddha says he's the way. The Hindu gods. I mean, all kinds of gods. Gods everywhere. Gods, 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 gods. There's a warning now. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death, according to the Bible. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 through 41, listen to this. "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man," talking about Jesus, listen to what this Bible says. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins," through this man. "And by him, all that believe," that's what we talked about a couple lessons ago about somebody believing on Christ, remember that? "And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses," the commandments. Remember we talked about that? Beware, listen to this, what's beware mean? Take heed. It means warning, warning, warning. "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." He said, be careful not to believe what's right. He said, "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore." Lest you turn into a despiser and a wanderer and you perish. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. Everybody listening to this and us learning together, you ought to be saved by now after the last couple classes. But if you happen to be here and you're not saved, you better take heed to this. If you wait until you fall through the ice of eternity and you slip through death and you go from time to eternity, if you fall through that ice and any step can happen, and you break through and you go into eternity without Jesus Christ, you're done, man. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. That is a warning of reconciliation. Be ye therefore reconciled unto God on purpose. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 20 and 21, listen to this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a responsibility on that verse. What it cost the Lord that God made Jesus Christ to become sin for you and me. And aren't we glad of that? I'm not glad about what Jesus had to go through, but I'm glad he did it because that was the only way. And you think, stop and think about this. God sat and figured this thing out. And he took his holiness on one side, and he took sin on the other, and he thought that thing out, and he said, there's only one way. And what Jesus went through was the determining thing that was the only way. Now, if God thought that was the only way, was through the suffering and the torture and the agony of his son, and he said it pleased God to bruise him. And what Jesus took and what he went through, if God thought that that was the only way, you think he's going to play around with somebody and negotiate reconciliation with some God-hating, Jesus-rejecting, God-defying sinner that slips into eternity and starts begging God to reconcile with him? All of a sudden, I've changed my mind. No, won't be none of that. To hell you go. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. And trust me, I've personally been with people that have been on their deathbed and chose to die without God. And that is a frustrating, unexplainable thing to see and to watch and to understand. It's mind-blowing. But people do hate God that much and despise him. And God ain't gonna tell me what to do. Maybe not. But when you die, you ain't gonna have to worry about it no more, because he ain't gonna tell you nothing. Because he don't talk to people in hell. There's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read that to you. And verse 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. That's the importance and the that's how important it is. Get saved now. 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 Well, it's a warning. What are we talking about? We're talking about some warnings concerning reconciliation. God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. And here's another verse, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Did you hear what he said? He's talking to brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You can't get out of God's family, but you can leave fellowship with him. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, that's not talking about working for your salvation. That's talking about staying right. Staying right with the Lord. And also, prophetically, it's talking to tribulation saints. We'll get into that some other time. But talking about born again Christians in this era, in this age, under the gospel of the grace of God, be careful, it says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Everything in this world is designed to steal your heart away from the Lord and away from your service to the Lord and away from your love for the Lord and away from the truth. And the Lord says, keep thy heart with all diligence, because that's out of it are the issues of life. You say, why is my life like this? Because your heart's like it. There's one more here I want to read to you. What are we talking about? We're talking about some warnings concerning reconciliation. And this is the last verse I want to read to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 through 28. It says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord's coming to get us. And he died for you. And he bore your sins. And he cleansed you and reconciled you and brought you into his family. And he's up there taking up for you. And when the devil accuses you, and he helps you out with your sin and over the power of sin daily, and he's coming to get you to take you out of the very presence of sin to where you won't have to be affiliated with sin at all in any way, shape, or form. And is busy trying to clean you up right now and let you be partaker of his holiness and be fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord we have. But take heed to some warnings now. Reconciliation is a wonderful thing, but if it's rejected or denied or played around with, remember we talked about it being a very important thing? Reconciliation is a privilege and a gift. It's not a right. And being reconciled to God, you're a child of God, and now you have a Heavenly Father literally, and he takes his fatherhood seriously. And the last thing is that God does not negotiate reconciliation with anyone after death. If there's anyone you want to see saved, you better start praying for them. And do what you can. And get some gospel tracts out or do what you can, anything, to try to bring people to Christ. Because if they die in their sin, they can't ever get back to God. Ever. They cannot be reconciled ever, ever, ever again. And that's important. And when you start thinking about things about, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And you wonder, Lord, I'm living in this body and I hate it, and this body don't want to do nothing but bad things, and I'm saved and I'm in your family and I'm waiting on you, and I have to live amongst all this gunk and goop and slop and slime and hog slop down here, and all these people that hate you and everything else. How am I to think? Think on these things. What things? Getting people saved before it's too late. Before it's too late. Being an example and a light in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And walk before the Lord and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, because it does matter now. It didn't matter whenever you was out running around lost in the world. There was only one thing that mattered then, and only one thing that matters to any lost person, and that is to get your state reconciled back to the Lord. And the only way is through Jesus. And if you don't accomplish that, you're doomed, man. But if you are saved, you do have some things to think about. You don't have any part of this world and shouldn't want any part of it. Who wants this filthy place? I want the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's ways and the Lord's paths. Don't you? Get your mind off the filth and your ways off the filth. And get associated with the Lord and His ways and His paths, and start doing things for the kingdom of God and for the Lord, and put you up some rewards in heaven. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. We're going to stop class right there. We're going to just end it. We've talked about some warnings concerning reconciliation. And we are finished with that, and the next time we come back together, we're going to close out this study of reconciliation. We pretty well know what reconciliation and what the Bible says and what it means concerning reconciliation now. But when we're going to have one more class, and we're going to talk about just a few facts in the Bible concerning reconciliation to end with. And that's not going to take very long at all, but probably just recap and go back over our study one more time just a little bit, just to refresh our minds and our hearts. Do you know what reconciliation is now? Of course you do. And nothing confusing about that, is there? Did it say anything about you riding a jackass around a church backwards 14 times and playing with beads and kissing the feet of popes and Hail Mary and beads and 600 wing angels of Muhammad and all that sort of business? What did it say? What's the Bible say? We know what it said. We know what it said. Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I'm glad that the Lord saved me and then He showed me that it's the right way and that it's the true way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Lord saved me. He showed me that He saved me. He showed me how He saved me. He showed me why He saved me. The Lord doesn't hold back from us. He teaches us. He wants us to understand. But He's not going to play around with a bunch of hooligans that are trying to do it for despicable reasons like profit and filthy lucre. And to get praise for education. God don't care nothing about your DAs and your MAs and your AAs and all the little letters that you put by your name. He don't care about that. Amen. All right. We're going to stop right there. Well, let me give you these verses, okay? Are you ready? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 13. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Psalm chapter 49, verse 6 through 9. John chapter 14, verse 6. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 through 41. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 through 28. And we'll stop right there. That concludes our fifth class in the study of the letter R, reconciliation, and what our Bibles and what the Word of God has to say concerning reconciliation. I love you with Christ's love, and thank you for studying God's Word, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged. Don't you quit. Don't you ever, ever quit. You finish right. Go all the way to the end. Talk to you on the next one, and it'll be our last one for this study. Hope to join in with you real soon. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.